From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project.
Overlooking historic Bryant Park in Midtown Manhattan, live from NPR Studios, this is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. News, information, very high bar tab. I'm Mike Peskitz, July 15th, 2008. And that was people having the Irish wake for this very program. But you know what? For the next few days, this space shall not be a dirge, nor will it be a eulogy. We will move on. We will discuss news. We will do interviews. We will replay some of our greatest hits, because Dave Wiley would have wanted it that way. So, at this juncture, this is the piece of real estate where I talk about something that just hit me. Here's what hit me. The All-Star Game. It's here in New York City. And it's going to hit us all later this afternoon, because they're literally shutting down traffic. They're having a parade for the All-Star Game. Now, I used to live right off Fifth Avenue, where on Sunday all the different nations of the world would have a parade. And I'd wake up in my apartment, this is before I had kids, and if it was a bagpipes playing, I'd say, oh, yeah, the Scottish are having their parade. If it was like electronic tempura music, the Indians. If it was, you know, the Surnai, I'd be like, what's a Surnai? Yes. A traditional reed instrument of the Mongolian people. I know it was their parade. So I am familiar with parades. But for the All-Star Game? For the All-Star Game? The game that doesn't count? The game that's just an exhibition? For these players who get so much adulation anyway, they're shutting down Fifth Avenue? I mean, you know, we touched on this with Bill Wolf yesterday. But, oh, they're shutting down Sixth Avenue? Oh, Lord. Avenue of the Americas. You know, we touched on this with Bill Wolf. Yes, the All-Star Game is a little bit annoying. But the thing is to focus so much attention on the game. I was trying to figure out what it's like. It's like a restaurant reviewer focusing on the tap water. Or it's like you're in the middle of a really important presidential race and the media is just focusing on a cartoon on a magazine cover. It's as stupid as that. All right, on the show today, it is New Music Tuesday. See, every Tuesday is New Music Tuesday. This shall be no exception. Lizzie Goodman from Blender Magazine is here to run down some of today's new music releases. Turns out my favorite band in the world has a new release. And we'll dig into the BPP archives and hear our interview and performance with Death Cab for Cutie. We will get today's headlines in just a minute. But first, well, we announced yesterday that the Bryant Park Project has been canceled. We have about four-fifths more shows to bring you. And if you will indulge us, we'd like to wallow in our own demise once more. Before we get to business, part one of our shock was getting the news. Part two is dealing with the reaction from our listeners, our blog readers, our Twitter buddies, our Facebook friends, basically the whole 2.0 crowd. BPP web editor Laura Conaway is here for an unprecedented on the site meets butt first. It's like a Marvel team up when the Thing and the Hulk went and smashed. Hey Laura, how you doing?
I'm all right, Mike. How you doing?
What is up on the blog?
Well, first I have a question for you. How big was that bar tab yesterday? I left before it came in.
Well, if you take away Matt Martinez's drinks, it was like in the hundreds. But with Matt Martinez's drinks, yeah.
Well, how many hundreds are we talking about? I want some facts.
I can't divulge. There's what it was, and then there's the receipt we're submitting to NPR.
Okay.
Yeah, which might be two different things.
Well, yesterday, in the sober early morning hours, you might remember I talked to this guy, Rob Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And Rob Patterson is a friend of the show, and he's a little bit of a, I guess you might call him a new media guru, really. He consulted with NPR in the past on some other stuff, and he's one of the people who, in the very first early days, helped me find my way around the BPP's new landscape.
Now, did you even know that about Rob Patterson, his background, or just
no.
kind of stumble across
No,
it?
I just stumbled across him. I said, hey, he said, hey, and he started helping me out. Yeah. And at a certain point, he said, oh, yeah, I used to, you know, help NPR, too. Thank you. Anyway, Rob Patterson says that when the news got out that NPR was canceling our show, public radio people really all over the country were sort of scratching their heads and saying, well, how are we going to make a go of this new media thing? If the Bryant Park Project with NPR's backing can't make a go of it, what will? And you have to say, we blew through pretty much every online benchmark that NPR had set for the show. The content was a hit. We became part of listeners' everyday routines. Patterson says, really, Mike, the problem was just money. And he says,
it often is.
It often is. It's really just money. He says, when you're working on the web, you've got to stay cheap.
When you're trying to try the new now in public media, I think the important thing is to look at how big your start off is and your costs and everything. I'm really wondering whether going to any air at all is a worthwhile experience. If the powers that be had decided that we're going to have a modest amount of money around this and we're going to start on the web, and you had 1 million visitors in your first 6 months or a year, I would have been absolutely thrilled. It would have been fantastic.
Instead, we were paying for a radio show.
Except you were paying for a radio show.
I personally think, and I told him that I think that radio, the fact that we were on the radio is actually part of the magic of the show.
Well, NPR, I think that R stands for radio.
It sort of does, Although Ian says the N stands for internet.
Uh-huh. And the P is for perfection, because you know that we're a freak. But, you know, it's NPR. They know how to make radio. They do make radio. Let's say, you know, loosely defined, they're going to be making audio content and, you know, forays into new media, forays into video content. But still, it does make sense to me to go with your strength. They know how to do a good radio show. One could argue that at times this was a good radio show, just as a radio show, though of course it was more.
Well, the thing for me about the Bryant Park Project is that it began as a radio show that had Webb on the ground floor.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, you know, here in the early days of the aftermath, people have said, well, it was a new media experiment. And I suppose, but I think really more purely, it was a radio show that was never separate from its web incarnation. And in that way, you know, radio was crucial to it. Tricia McKinney, our editor, describes the radio show as the place where people came and met every day for a couple of hours and talked to each other. And then that spilled out over onto the blog and onto Twitter. And it gave the show...
Well, it makes sense. Like a great blog, like, you know, Deadspin, the central premise is sports, and, you know, whatever happened in sports the last night, or Gawker, they're talking about celebrities. So it was almost a blog about a radio show and a radio show about our interests, and one fed on the other.
Yeah, and there was also Twitter, and I mean, and it was personal, and it was public, and to me, it was just kind of a particular magical thing. I wanted to note a couple of things. The New York Times article yesterday said we cost about $2 million a year, and I think it's worth noting that we had some great ideas about getting more airplay. Personally, you know, I do think that radio is a big part of what we did. Patterson tweeted this morning that he's continuing to think about, you know, what can we do with this community? The folks over at the blog Radio Sweetheart have started a Facebook group called, I think, Save the BPP.
I think I
was a charter member.
I don't know if there are a couple of them. I saw another Facebook page where they had either someone had taken our logo and kind of photoshopped it on a water tower, or I'd like to believe that someone actually climbed up to a water tower and painted our logo
hung
on
that
it
sucker.
Somewhere.
That's what you do in old media. In old media, you actually have to go climb the ladder.
Let's talk stats for a second, because I came across an interesting stat, but put it in perspective about how many people have commented. We have a couple different threads. I mean, it's well into the hundreds. I'd say over 500 people have commented so far.
Yeah, if you put them around in different places. I think, you know, I blogged the original news when it came out in the New York Times on Sunday. And the last time I looked, I think it was going to be 500 in just a minute. It was about 490,
okay.
I think.
Okay, so there's 500 on that one thread.
And then there's 60 on another and 30 on another. I can't remember
so
exactly.
So here's the thing. I was saying, all right, so how does this compare to, you know, protests or people making their feelings felt in the past? And I started doing a lot of research. And whenever, you know, some shows have been saved, like Cagney and Lacey was saved from cancellation. But all they would ever say is that, you know, hundreds of people wrote letters, or the switchboard was swamped. Switchboards are always swamped, by the way. I think that's why they got over switchboards.
Ever tried calling the DMV? The switchboard is swamped.
Yeah, well, it comes pre-swamped. That's a setting from the guy who sells switchboards. Oh, you guys are with the DMV. You're going to want our swamped model. Anyway, I was, as I am wont to do, perusing the Federal Communication Commission Daily. Federal Communications Law Journal of March 2000. And because they are a government entity, the FCC has to keep statistics. And so one of the most famous broadcasts of all time was Orson Welles when he did the War of the Worlds broadcast, where he said that Martians had landed in New Jersey. Now, at the time, 6 million people listened to the broadcast, and it was on the radio. You didn't have to seek it out. In fact, that was the point. And someone studied it and said after the fact that more than 1 million of those listeners thought it was real. But the FCC saved all their protests, and this guy in 2000, Justin Levine, dug them out, and he found that 372 people had protested the famous Orson Welles War of the World broadcast. 255 wrote letters saying they favored it. Now, you add that up, That's something like 638.
Oh, we're going to be way ahead of world.
There
world,
you
whatever
go.
That thing is called, we're ahead of it.
More
yeah.
people no, weighing done. In on Orson, the BPP sorry. Cancellation yeah. than the Orson yeah. Welles War of the World broadcast. I just
never
thought
mind
that was
the little green
cool.
men. Yeah,
I like stats.
Well, one of the things I find
I like stats.
If you look at these blog posts or comments that are coming in, the Twitter things that are coming in, over and over again, you hear people talking about the value of this community and the value of this community and their lives. And I've had a chance to record now several interviews with listeners, and 201, they all make this sound when they start. And you feel it. You do feel it sort of at a personal level. People I've talked to a couple of times and had on the show. People I've never talked to at all.
The NSI, the National Psi Index, did record a bump yesterday at around 7 a.m.
I think it's going to be a huge spike.
When this was announced.
Well, it is kind of a big sigh.
You know? Okay, so some people wrote in and they said they didn't like the show.
Yes, they did.
But we're not censoring those comments,
no,
are we? One guy wrote in saying, I see you're not writing any negative comments.
You just have
we
to
are.
Find them.
Yeah, we're writing all the comments, I believe. I don't know if we've censored one, unless there was
no.
one that was like
you know,
really
they've
racist
been very
or
clean.
Something.
I don't think I've had to take anything out for racism or
right. So
or
if you read those
attack.
Comments and you say, oh, you're not putting any of the negative ones up,
no, they're
we
up
are.
There. They're up there. And they all say basically the same thing, which is they think that Bryant Park Project dumbed down the news and they, you know, they just don't like it. They hate it.
Well, some of them, you know, kind of ranted against you kids and your rock and roll.
That's
and
a
few people said
thing.
I used words that I don't understand. And I would just
well,
like to clarify.
That may be so. I don't know. Wait, clarify.
I use words I understand. I just can't pronounce those words. Okay. So there's a little bit of a difference.
You just say them shtuh.
Laura Conaway, I want to thank you for editing our blog and website. Continue to do so. You'll be checking back in all this week. And you folks can weigh in at npr.org/Bryant Park. The thread is up. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
And let's get some more of today's headlines from the BPP's Mark Garrison.